The Savannah Bananas sold out Camden Yards, even had a standing room only packed right there on Utah Street over the weekend. And some on social media are using this information as an indictment on the Baltimore Orioles, and I think that's the wrong move. This is not an indictment on the Orioles. This is a testament to the Savannah Bananas. Why can't we give someone credit without crapping on somebody else?
Don't you live in America? That's what we do here.
The Savannah Bananas were here for two games.
Mm-hmm.
Friday and Saturday, by the way. The Orioles are here for 81. It has nothing to do. Seriously, man.
It's
such
a silly argument. It's so dumb. Seriously, it's so dumb. You've got a novelty act. And I'm not taking away what they do because I compare them to the Harlem Globetrotters. I love the Globetrotters. I was a child. I still love them. When Curly Neal was around and he'd come in studio here, I was awestruck because it reminded me of my childhood. That's who these guys are. It's baseball.
Yeah.
And they do a great job.
They do a great job of promoting and executing.
But it's like taking your kids to the circus. It's a one-time event. The same thing.
You're not taking your kids to the farm to see those same animals.
Right, yes.
But if the circus comes to town with those animals, you're going because of the presentation.
Now that you said that, right. Would you take them to the farm every day?
No.
No.
No, I would not.
No.
And the presentation isn't the same either, just like Savannah Bananas are.
Right.
And again, this is nothing against, or this is a testament to what they do, their product. If you like that, their product is sensational. They're creating a product. They are. They do a great job. But to say this is an indictment on the home team here who plays 81 games in this stadium is just absolutely ludicrous.
It's silly.
On top of that, I got a question for you, Ed, because you follow this much more than me. Has Baltimore now been deemed a safe zone?
What? What do you mean?
Baltimore City, downtown. Yeah. Has it now been deemed a safe zone?
Oh, I know what you're saying. not that I heard.
Okay, so for people who say the reason why they don't want to go to Camden Yards at night because of the crime in Baltimore, how did they sell out? Did they play this game in Towson?
Yeah.
They played this game in Bel Air? When they played this game? They played this game in Baltimore City. So my whole thing is, I just wish people stopped the BS.
I do too, actually.
Stop the BS, man.
Yeah. It's like, enough already, man.
Hey, Joe, did you follow the news as well more than me. That Baltimore City is now one of the safest places in America now?
I mean, for the people that went to the Savannah Bananas game, it's probably only the two times they're going to go to the city all year anyway.
That doesn't make it safe.
I'm just saying. They sit there and complain about crime and go twice a year.
Yeah.
The Billy Joel concert was sold out. That was at night. The Paul McCartney concert was sold out. That was at night.
Mm-hmm.
These things are at night. The U2 concert was sold out. I believe that was at night. The Jay-Z, Justin Timberlake concert was sold out. Believe night. I think that was at night. People went. Because you wanted to go. I just stopped the created narratives. Some of you say the media creates narratives. No, you create narratives on social media. It's not just us. You create them too.
Yeah. And I hear people all the time saying this about, I don't go downtown, I don't go downtown. Occasionally you do. You do when you want to.
When you really want to go,
when you want to go, you go.
And I'm going to say this again. I'm all right with that. I love it when my city wins. You went down there and spent a lot of money. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just telling you don't pee down my leg and tell me it's raining.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Go spend money. Beat the criminals. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Take the city back from the criminals. If enough of us go down there, we will. We can take the city back. Let's do that.
That's actually true. We're trying to get people to do that.
Let's do that. Let's not give it to them. Let's take it back. I encourage you to go to the Savannah Banana Games and anything else that's in Baltimore. Just don't try to create something that's not a story.
Yeah.
81 games versus 2. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Do the Ravens currently have their deepest wide receiver group in team history? We'll talk about that at 8:30. But on the other side is Commission's Baltimore. What you got, Commission?
We're going to talk about exactly this in some ways and kind of what happened in New York City, too, because I never got a chance to talk about that. That was just one of the wildest things that seemed to blow away like a fart in the breeze. Nobody's talking about it now.
Not one of mine.
No, not yours.
Commissioner's Baltimore up next. You need a lot more than a breeze right here on The Fan. It's time for Commissioner's Baltimore. What you got, Eddie?
Well, we're talking about crime and Savannah Bananas and Baltimore and all the things that, you know, go along with it, and just how people are, I don't know, perceive things. Well, it's dangerous here still. I just saw a list last. I was looking up the, when you're talking about the NFL games in Brazil and Mexico. This year's no Mexico, but we're going to Brazil this year. I just looked at the 50 most dangerous cities in the world.
Uh-huh.
We're on a list. In the world. Memphis, Baltimore, Detroit, we're all on the list for American cities, which is kind of disgraceful. Because the rest of them were like, you know, a bunch from Mexico, South Africa, Honduras, and us. I was like, wow, that's pretty horrible. But I got to talk about what happened last week in Manhattan on 51st and Park, where I don't even know where to start with this. So many things that are just insane about this shooting. Like, you get a guy, he parks a black BMW on the street, double parks in Manhattan, which attracts attention. This is what I don't get about this. Like, he double parks a car. You go to New York enough. You go there plenty. You know what it's like there.
Mm-hmm.
And parking's at a premium, and people get pissed, and they notice, and everybody turns ahead if you double park, particularly in Manhattan.
People make decisions to walk long distances so they won't lose their parking spots.
Yes. Absolutely. And they won't move a car. They own a car, and they won't move it. No, I can't leave that spot.
Exactly.
Okay, I don't know why you want a car. So this guy double parks a BMW in the middle of Midtown Manhattan at 6:30 at night, very busy, gets out with his shoulder weapon, and is just strolling down the street. Like, did he go unnoticed? Because I know that he got in the building, and he shot the police officer who was working off duty in uniform, killed him right away, and then proceeds to get on the elevator and just opens fire upstairs and blames the NFL for his...
Which is the dumbest.
Yeah. He blames the NFL for head trauma. He believes he suffered.
Although he never played in the NFL.
He never played in the NFL. He's talking about childhood football. But it's the NFL's fault, and he goes up and opens fire and, like, just, you know, study my brain, please. He said,
I want to blame ESPN for my medical issues. That's the problem, Rob. You never worked for them. Doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. He buys this. This is what really gets me, too, because there's so many problems with this case. And nobody's really that I see has been talking about this, because this should be dissected over and over. Like, he buys the gun. It's an M4 rifle he buys. So for all the people concerned about, you know, handgun control and this and that, and this guy has a long, you know, a long gun that is not concealable. So he didn't care. Whatever. I'm going to just walk in this building with a rifle and just open fire. He does that. He buys it from his supervisor at a casino where he worked. I am not one for more laws in the United States, and I do not believe gun control works, as evidenced by this. Mm-hmm. New York City is the toughest gun laws I've ever lived under. You can't own a gun in New York City, essentially. It's impossible to get one if you live in the five boroughs. It's a real extraordinary case where you get a permit.
They locked up a football player for shooting himself.
Yeah, right. Yes. But my question is, like, this whole thing, like, he buys the rifle from a supervisor at a casino. Why do we even allow this? Does the supervisor have access to a background check? Does he know in any capacity other than I work with the guy? He works with me? Like, you're selling an M4 rifle to somebody. Clearly he's got mental problems. As bad intentions, he carries them out and then kills himself. I mean, there's so much wrong with this. There's so much wrong with it. And, like, my solution is, you want to sell guns, you know, secondhand? You want to sell it privately? Okay. You have to sell it through a gun store, a licensed dealer.
Right.
But how hard is that? I can't give it to you today. You got to wait 3 days. I'm going to send it to ABC Gun Store. And, you know, they'll have it. It's waiting for you. No one can buy it.
You're a Southerner.
Huh?
ABC.
Yeah.
You're a Southerner now, man. Yeah, that's a Southern reference. Exactly. That's how you buy alcohol down south, folks.
Yes, ABC
stores.
Yes.
You're a Southerner.
Yep. Just do it that way. Why? Why? And now you can't unring this bell. You have a dead police officer, four dead civilians. It's a terrible tragedy. All these people leave behind their loved ones. And everybody just shrugs their shoulder and we move on. Somebody get out with a gun in the financial capital of the planet, biggest city in our country, just gets out and goes to, and when I heard the address, because I think Jeremy, somebody, one of you guys, all of you guys texted me when it happened. I was like, oh, that's a busy corner. 345 Park, yeah, I know that building very well. NFL headquarters, they're in there. I'm like, damn. So you target the NFL, and like, and no one's, this is like, Shane Gillis does a bit about, very tongue-in-cheek, obviously.
It's the best part of the song, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
He does a bit about, you know, he's in Australia, and somebody's making fun of him about, you know, your country. He goes, what are all those mass shootings you have? And go, you know, and he goes, yeah, we got those. Nobody's really working on it, though. Nobody's working on any of this. Like, we have these all the time now. Have you heard anybody come up with a creative plan?
No.
Seriously, anything. I mean, this is just one idea that I threw out just now. That's this case specific. So, like, if you just took all the problems we have in all these cases, do a look back, and say, how'd the gun get in this nut's hands? I bet you'd come up with a solution of some sort. Whether or not people abide by it or it works, I can't tell you. But I know that would have helped here. Or at least I believe it would. And I just, I can't believe this goes on still. And I don't know. You get the strictest gun laws in the nation in New York City. They ban assault weapons. They prevent all kinds of things. But, you buy them in a state with weak gun laws and you bring them across the border. Commit mass murder. That's what happened. So you got to get your act together, America. I mean, this is just yet another horrible tragedy. All these people, I just feel terrible. I watched the transfer of the body of Officer Islam, where they walked him out to transfer him up to the funeral home. Mm-hmm. It just brings back bad memories, but sad stuff. Sad, horrible incident. Not necessary. It shouldn't have happened.
And thank you very much, Commissioner. That's Commissioner's Baltimore, 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Who was the best Shaq with the Celtics, Raven or Oriole? It's a fun segment. I can't wait for 9 o'clock to do that. But on the other side, do the Ravens currently have their deepest wide receiver group in team history? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Mike Bordick joins us at 8:45. But right now, Ed, you've been following this Ravens team for a long time since you moved to Baltimore. I've been following them since they got here. Of course, I was following from afar, living in South Carolina. But I look at this roster right now, this wide receiver core.
Mm-hmm.
This room is special. We're used to getting veteran wide receivers, aging wide receivers, and bringing them in and asking them to be what they were when they were young. DeAndre Hopkins entering his 13th year in the National Football League at the age of 33. DeAndre Hopkins can sit behind Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman as wide receivers, and we don't know what DeVonta Walker is going to do, but we do know also he's the third wide receiver. But if you throw in a mix Mark Andrews and when Isaiah Likely comes back, he's the fifth receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just need you to be out there to dare the other teams not to pay attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's out there saying, please, ignore me.
Yeah.
You can't lose with him being on the field.
I think it was a great move. I was excited because I've always liked him. Because it's one thing, you know me, one thing I like about athletes, you can count on. If I can count on you, you're good. He's a guy that didn't drop a pass in a regular season.
Yeah.
Not one drop. I mean, he's just an amazing guy. I don't know what he's going to be like this year, but I'll take him. I'm happy he's here.
Yeah.
And think about where he is. You mentioned, where he would be as far as going through progressions or where he'd be in the receiver room or whatever, forgetting the tight ends. He's pretty far down on the list. Well, They're kind of cool, though.
Yeah, that's great. You're not asking to be with Anquan Boldin, which you were asking for Anquan Boldin, although he's a little older than Boldin was when we got him. You're not asking him to be, who's the guy we got from the Titans? A name I can't remember.
Derek Mason.
You're not asking him to be Derek Mason. You're not asking him to be Steve Smith Sr. You're not asking him to be any of these guys. You already had those guys. You're just asking him to be Big Brother.
Yeah.
Now show these guys how to be guys. Show these guys how to work. Show them the work ethic. Show them the attitude that it takes. Because he's never been a guy who had a bad attitude.
No.
He's an example, Ed, of the guy that you want around your team even after his prime is long gone. Some guys you can't do that with.
Yeah, he is actually. And he's got a great resume that I think somebody, the young guys, can respect. Everybody knows who he is. Got a cool nickname.
D-Hop.
And everybody knows that. So,
is this the deepest wide receiver room you've seen since you've been following this team?
Absolutely. Yeah. To me, I can't think of a year that this team has had better receivers. And we've always had good tight ends, but it was never this deep for tight ends.
Agreed.
You always had, you've had Shannon Sharp and mm-hmm. Todd Heap and Dennis Pitta. You never had, Likely and Andrews at the same team.
Agreed.
And now you got this receiver room. It's pretty awesome, man. It really is.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Joe, you've been following this team for a long time. Is this the deepest, the best wide receiver room that you can remember?
I would say even beyond people like the obvious ones. Like, who the hell is Keith Kirkwood? And Lamar's like throwing him dots like over the shoulder at practice. And I mean, that guy, and the guy's been in the league for like 5 years. I had to look him up, but I had no idea who these people are. And I do question though.
Anthony Miller.
Yeah. But I wonder how much of this is like, how much better does Lamar make them? Like, is he to the point where how Peyton Manning would make guys like become all pros or Pro Bowl type receivers?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That is a good question. Because Lamar's becoming a generational passer.
He is.
Before our very eyes.
Yeah,
he's becoming that dude.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying if you're good enough to make it to the NFL and you got a quarterback that's good enough to put it on you, then you should catch passes.
In theory, we say that now. Hopefully, 2 months from now, we're not questioning that.
But as of now, this is the deepest, I think, on paper, the deepest wide receiver room they have. But Joe brings out a good point. Like Keith Kirkwood, you pulled a Charles Barkley. Who he?
And you got like Tez Walker looks like he's going to break out this year, too.
Yeah,
he does, right?
That would be great. Yeah. I mean, this is just something that I don't know how to feel.
Don't worry.
Defense and running backs. So my entire life.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Just roll with it. It is what it is. I'm loving this, man. I'm absolutely loving this. The window. Somebody. I don't know if you were here when we analyzed what's this team's offensive identity. I said the window or the stairs.
Yes. Yeah. You want to stop that? Okay. Watch this.
That's the name of the offense. The window or the stairs. Which one you want? You're going down. You pick how you want to go down, the window or the stairs. And that's who they are right now. And it's funny, in an ironic way, that we're talking about the Baltimore Ravens' vaunted offense.
Yeah. It's something I'm still not used to it. I mean, I'm not trying to be, funny or be polarizing over radio. I really can't. I'm not used to it. I'm just used to the defense and an offense that was good. We're okay, but this is like, this offense is awesome. It's the best offense in the league.
Yeah.
That's statistically correct. I mean, it just is. So we'll see.
It's the most potent offense in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best offense in the NFL.
And here we stand again with all of this weaponry, wondering why there's no Super Bowl appearance. And I think Trippy said it earlier today, this team's they've got to get to the Super Bowl.
They do.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
They really do. Yeah.
Outside of injuries, there's no reason you shouldn't get to the Super Bowl. You got to get there.
Yeah. If they don't, I mean, that's the only thing that would forgive it is injuries. Because if they're healthy and they end up not going again, It's gonna be hell to pay in this town, man. It really is.
I would hate to be around if they don't get there.
Yeah.
I may take off. I may just see them out. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed, if there's one thing you look for on this football team as they get ready to start the season, and you look at that game in Buffalo on September the 7th, Sunday Night Football,
mm-hmm.
What's the one thing that you can't wait to see? I know there's a lot, but if you could eliminate everything, the one thing that you can't wait to see.
I want to see Mike Green gets pressure on Josh Allen. That's all I want to see. I've been waiting for a pass rusher for years.
Uh-huh.
Somehow they've been, I don't know how he's done it. The defensive coordinator's done a great job because they're either at the top or near the top in sacks every year. But everybody's getting, like everybody gets three or two, mm-hmm. you know, and Kyle mm-hmm. Van Noy got, you know, whatever, 11. But I just think that I'd love to see if they have a real pass rusher, and he can contribute right away. So I just, that's what I'm really looking for.
My pick is going to make you fall out of your chair.
Tyler Loop?
Yep.
Really?
His first field goal attempt is what I want to see. And you know, I don't care anything about kickers. You know that.
Yep.
But I want to see Tyler Loop's first field goal attempt. I don't care what the situation is. I don't talk about extra point. I want to see a field goal. Again, it could be up, trailing, tied a game. Doesn't matter to me.
Salute.
Excuse me. I just want to see it because we've been talking about it for so long and so much anticipation towards it for a kicker. I want to see it. And when we get it done, we get it done. They'll put it past us. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Who was your best Shaq with the Celtics, Raven or Oriole? We'll explain that. And we'll do that at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, we're talking some baseball. Orioles baseball. Mike Bordick from Baltimore's Baseball Tonight joins us up next on the Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long. Joining us right now from Baltimore Baseball Tonight, former Orioles shortstop, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline. He is Mike Bordick. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Rob. Good morning, man.
Good morning to you, man. I don't think we've spoken since the trade deadline, so I'm going to ask you now your thoughts on the Orioles and what they did at the deadline.
Well, I thought they did great. I mean, that's what they had to do. I was surprised by a couple of the moves.
Like who?
The guys that were under contract, I thought were reasonable pieces that they could use next year. And if they're going to bring them back, they're going to have to pay more. That's for sure. And so that surprised me a little bit, only from, I guess, from a business standpoint. Now this, in my opinion, how aggressive they were and really not saving any pieces, but just completely, you know, dismantling it all and only keeping the core group of guys. It's a rebuild again. You're rebuilding around obviously the core group. So there is a lot of work that has to be done. I mean, they got to rebuild a whole new bullpen. At closer potentially included because Batista's now become a question mark with the shoulder. So, you know, you got to get high average back end guys. I guess the idea is now it's tryout camp for everybody. So every player other than the core group of players that stayed back or didn't get traded are now all being evaluated to see if there's room for them on the major league team. Are they good enough? And if they're not, then the Orioles are going to have to bump up their payroll a little bit to kind of fill in the gaps if you want to try to compete again.
As a former player, is there any sense of joy for some of the guys who went to contending teams? Like, you know, Cedric goes to the Mets and Horn goes to the Padres. And, you know, the guys who actually went to people that are, you know, going to be going to the playoffs for sure, maybe going to the World Series.
Yeah, well, it's mixed, man. You know, I think it's hard because when every team enters spring training, you know, you start building a bond. You go through the blood, sweat, and tears. You want to do it together. And if you underachieve a little bit, and the reality is it becomes a cold business and guys get moved on. So when you kind of look at it from a professional standpoint, every player wants a chance to get to the postseason and win. So every guy that got moved, yeah, their heart is a little broken because I think they left one of the best clubhouses, you know, in baseball. But now they move on and get a chance to a better chance to even hoist the trophy this year. And I think they'll all take a shot at that.
Mike Bordick joins us. Mike, it's Major League Baseball. It's the highest baseball there is. You know, how are fans supposed to, you know, look at a team that on this level you're supposed to win and now think, well, maybe now I'm just evaluating guys? How do fans make that transition and flip the script that way?
The Orioles fans have been through a lot, man, haven't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about just the last 7 years. I mean, the total breakdown and then not quite getting to where you know, everybody expected, and now to have this kind of setback, in a way, it's a little bit troubling. But here we go again. Let's see how it goes. I think they strengthened the organization from a minor league standpoint, which I think they really needed to do. It was something that was tragically overlooked in you know, in the first round. I think the first round of things with Elias, he was able to land obviously the best players, you know, in the draft, and they're all there, right? They're all in the big leagues right now, but that was it. There was nothing else to keep it, you know, afloat. So they strengthened it, I think, with the amount of trades that they just had. And now it's a matter of getting big league pieces that are going to get you back into contention because, you know, you think the Yankees are going to be happy with where they are right now, so their offseason is going to be different. They're going to get Garrett Cole back. Just a lot of different things. Teams are getting healthier. Teams are, you know, they're not digressing. They're looking to just make themselves better. The right. Orioles are completely – they're rebuilding again, you know. So, yeah, hopefully the fans look at it with the same patience they had over the last 4 years, but – they've got to win in the window of about 3 years. That's it, because then we're going to lose all the whole foundation, right? Adley be gone, Gunnar will be gone. You know, all those guys, Kowser, if you don't win in 3 years, then what is it? So they better be making some pretty good moves this offseason.
Rob and I were talking earlier about Mike Elias's apology to the fan base. Do you think it mattered, and do you think it was necessary to actually apologize?
No. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go. You know, this is what happened. We know that everybody got hurt, but the problem was the organization wasn't strong enough to sustain it and hold it up. There are other organizations that have had, well, the Orioles might set a record for most injured players of the year. Okay, so that's pretty crazy. But there are a lot of teams with a lot of injured players and have somehow been able to overcome. Why didn't the Orioles? Well, they just weren't deep enough. So that's why they got all these minor league players stacked up and stuff like that. So, no, I don't think you have to apologize about anything. This is the reality of what happens in sports, in baseball, and it happened right in front of our eyes with the Orioles. So you got to move forward. Yeah, you accept what happened. I mean, everybody has to. But, listen, it's constantly moving forward, and let's go. I don't really think he had to apologize.
Mike, thanks a lot, my friend. Where can we hear you this week?
All right, man. We're on the Be More Baseball podcast,
right.
And we got some great guests coming up. Tomorrow we're going to be talking to a potential manager of the Orioles. I think they're going to be looking for young guys into analytics that have had experience. So that'll be pretty exciting. Yeah, so check it out on the Be More Baseball podcast. And some other interesting guests coming up as well.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it, Mike.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's get Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Did the Orioles get anyone in the deadline trades that will help us next season? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day as well. I don't think those guys that got in the deadline trade are necessarily here for next season. Maybe one or two. But I think for the most part, those are guys 2-3 years down the road. I'm not saying they can't come up and contribute a little bit for the team next year, but I think the trade deadline for the most part was 2 years. What's up?
Anthony Nunez is one of the guys they got. He just got promoted to AAA.
He did?
Yeah, so maybe next year you might be able to see him.
All right.
I believe he was one of the arms they got from the Mets.
From the Mets, yeah. I think for the most part, that trade deadline, those moves are like 2-3 years down the road. But Nunez, you're right. If he got promoted to AAA, possibly. But no, sometimes when he gets promoted this late, he may spend the better part of the following year there unless he just tears it up. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joe LaCroix is on court at 9:45, but on the other side. Here's an exercise we're going to throw you away. Shaq with the Celtics was by far, would you say, the worst year of his career for a Hall of Famer. Give us your Shaq with the Celtics player for either the Ravens or the Orioles, anywhere that you can remember. We'll even let you extend to the Jets or the Mets there, and if it goes way back. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.